Thanks, Jeff, very much. And thank you, Tyler and Jillian, for loaning me your boy for that. It was a lot of fun. You noticed that the musicians, after last night, put their guitars back behind the... They've finally got the idea that it may not be as completely safe as it normally is on a Sunday morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles or swipe in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. The Gospel according to Matthew and the 25th chapter. We're going to start in verse 13, which is kind of in the middle of things there in Matthew chapter 25. In verse 13, and it has been a joy and a privilege to be with you this weekend. Thank you for having me back. I don't know whether you will now, after that little performance or not, another time. I do commend you for holding this conference of going deep in your faith so you go wide in your outreach. I commend you for doing that. I think it's an excellent idea. And I commend you for living out what this conference is talking about. I commend you. And commendation is what I want to talk about to you this morning. It's what we want to hear the boss say. It's about hearing that commendation, that job well done, the two thumbs up, not from me or from you, but from the Lord when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. On Friday night, we started with Colossians 3:23-24, which says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We know who our boss truly is. And what do you want your master Messiah, your Lord Christ, to say to you when your work is all over and all done? Today's message comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 13 through 30, which is a part of what Bible scholars call the Olivet Discourse. It's that long teaching segment of Matthew chapters 24 and 25, where the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives, therefore Olivet, on the Mount of Olives taught his disciples about the end times, about the end of the world, and about his return, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The theme that keeps repeating throughout this section of Scripture is that Jesus' disciples should live in constant expectation and constant readiness and constant watchfulness because we do not know when Jesus will return. Jesus has said something like that in chapter 24, verse 36, chapter 24, verse 42, verse 44, and verse 50. And then in this chapter, chapter 25, he tells three stories to illustrate this exact principle. Our story for today is the middle story of the three. But the point of all three of them is that we should be watchful and ready for the return of Jesus Christ. The first story ends with verse 13, which serves as a bridge from story one into our story for today. He says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let's pray together once more, and then we can fully jump into God's holy word. Thank you, Lord, for this weekend. I pray for this church. I pray, Father, for depth and width. I pray that they would be going daily deep in their faith, and they would see themselves as missionaries going wide in their outreach. It's amazing to read all the missionaries they support and just think about all the fingers of and all the different pies of all the different things that they are doing in the world and right here in Garrett County. I pray, Father, for them that they would go deep and they would go wide. And I pray, Father, that we would all listen this morning. We would hear what your Spirit has to say to your church. Use me if you can. Work around me if you must. But speak to your church through your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in the last days. We are closer than ever to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we're living in the last of the last days. I don't know that. Nobody does. Sometimes it feels that way, though, doesn't it? especially with the headlines we read in our newspapers. Some folks at my church have asked me recently to do more teaching on the end times because it feels like we might be in the last of the last days. But we know that Christians throughout history have felt the same way, that their generation may be living in the last of the last days. And we also know that the Lord Jesus told us specifically to not be setting dates, and that things like false messiahs, wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and all kinds of bad things like that do not tell us that the end has arrived. Jesus made that point very clearly in chapter 24. Those things must happen, he says, but the end is still to come. They're just the beginning of the birth pains, not the end. Verse 13 again, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. But we do know that the Bible calls this time that we are living in now, between the first advent of Christ, Christmas, and the second advent of Christ, still to come, the last days, or the last hour, Hebrews 1:2, James 5:3, 2 Peter 3:3, 1 John 2:18. We are living in the last days, the days between Jesus' first coming and his second. And just because of the passing of time, we know that we are closer now than we've ever been to the return of Christ. So the question is, how are we supposed to live while we wait for his return? What did verse 13 say? Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Keep watch. That's how we're supposed to live. Ready for his return, ready and waiting. Kind of like hide and seek, right? Ready or not, here I come. We're ready and waiting. Expectant, anticipatory, longing, leaning towards it, ready for his return, keeping watch. But this watchfulness is not at all supposed to be passive. While we wait for the return of Christ, we're not supposed to just lean back and lay around. It's not that kind of waiting. It's not like waiting at the bus stop or at the airport terminal. Nothing's happening. You're just sitting there until your ride comes. You're twiddling your thumbs. You're scrolling through your social media feeds, right? That's not what this kind of waiting is. Some people in the Bible were like that. Some of the men at Thessalonica had quit their jobs and were just waiting around because they thought the return of Christ was right around the corner. In the 19th century in America, some people thought they knew the day and the hour of Christ's return, and they gave away their possessions. And some of them set the date and they stood on their roof. Beam me up, Jesus. How did they feel when the day was out? It didn't happen like they expected, and they didn't have anything left. They'd given it all away. How disorienting that must have been. What did Paul tell those men at Thessalonica? We read it last night. Get a job, right? Get to work, guys. Work hard. This being ready, this keeping watch, is not a passive thing, like waiting for the bus. It's an active thing. There are things to be doing while we are waiting. Things like work. Point number one, we are entrusted. We are entrusted. We have been given a job to do. Look at verse 14. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Again, another story, story number two to illustrate the point. It, which is the kingdom, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Jesus is telling a parable, and it's not that hard to interpret, at least the main parts of it. The man going on a journey is who in the story? Jesus himself, right? And the servants are who? They're us. They are people. What are the talents of money? Well, that's a little more complicated. That's a little more confusing, because a talent in Greek is a unit of money measurement, not our gifts and abilities like how we use the word talent in English. It's confusing because we actually get our word talent from this word in this story, because we all have gifts that God has given us and we call them talents, named after these piles of money. The 2011 NIV just calls them bags of gold, which is actually very helpful for getting the picture of what's going on here. Here's your bag of gold, here's your bag of gold, here's your bag of gold. Because in this story, that's a whole lot of money. One talent, or one bag of gold, was equivalent to 20 years' wages for a day laborer. I'm not sure how to translate into that into today's dollars. I don't do math. I went to Bible school. Well, what would a day laborer make right now multiplied times 20 years of days? That's a big chunk of change. And in this story, the master leaves five of those for one servant, two for another, and one for another. Why? Each according to his ability. He had a good idea of what each one could handle. So he entrusted that amount to each one. Now, what do the bags of gold in this story stand for in real life? Well, I think, he's been around. I think that they're everything and anything that the Lord has entrusted to us. So they are what we call our talents, our gifts and abilities, yeah. And they're our money, which we're supposed to be stewards of. You know, you don't own anything, right? All that money in your wallet today, all that money in your bank account, and in your 401k, it's not actually yours, it's God's. And you're a steward of it, money managers of his money. And I think they are also our assignments in life, including our jobs, our callings. These talents in the story are the gifts and assignments that the Lord has entrusted to us to manage and do while we wait for his return. So put your job in that word when you see it there. You've been entrusted with your work. It's your assignment right now. And the Lord has put it in your hands to manage until he calls you to another job, or until your work on earth is done, or until he returns, whichever comes first. Now, a couple of things to notice about this. First, notice that we are to expect some kind of a delay. The master goes off on a journey and doesn't come back right away. Now, some people think that because the New Testament emphasizes expectancy, and it does, that nobody in the New Testament could have ever guessed that it would be some time until Jesus returned. Just because the Bible calls us to be ready at any time doesn't mean the apostles made a mistake in thinking it was going to be soon. Right here, the master goes on a long journey, and it will be long enough for the servants to get some work done, investing his gold while he's gone. I don't think we should be surprised that Jesus has not yet returned. Peter says that he's being patient and giving more people more time to repent. But on the other hand, that doesn't mean he isn't coming back soon. We don't know when, so we need to be ready, which means staying busy with what he's entrusted to us. Second, notice, we shouldn't get jealous of other people's gifts and assignments. Some people get five bags of gold, some two, some one, but everyone gets something to do. And it's based on how he sees things working the best. And he's the best boss there ever was, so if he's given you this assignment, it's probably the right one. We shouldn't be despising someone who has a different calling than we do. Don't look around the room and envy the people who have a different assignment in the kingdom that you do, or look down on the people who have a different assignment in the kingdom than you do. Just do what God calls you to do. Just be grateful to have been entrusted with what God has put in your hands to manage, and be faithful with it. That's the point of this story. Verse 16, then he went on his journey. The man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with two talents gained two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Whoa, you can see where this story's going. Two kinds of workers here. Three workers, but two kinds. Faithful and unfaithful. How many faithful workers are there? Two, right? How many unfaithful workers? How many were entrusted? Three. Yeah. Everybody's been given a job to do. The question is not whether or not we have a job to do, but whether or not we're going to be faithful with it. Now, I think this applies directly to evangelism, with sharing the gospel. It applies directly to missions, to spreading the gospel. You guys are a missionary supporting church. And it applies to all kinds of church work, building the church around the gospel. The work we do here. The work you do as part of this church. The first application of this call to faithfulness is gospel ministry and disciple making. But what have we been learning this weekend? We've learned that that's all, that everything is ministry, that our work is ministry, that our work is discipleship, that our work is worship. And we've learned that our work is entrusted to us by our master. It is the Lord Christ you're serving when you're doing your day job. We know who our boss is. So it's all kingdom work in some way, all the way down to the turtles. The question is whether or not we're going to be faithful at doing it. We're entrusted. Do you feel that? I hope that everyone is beginning to get that God has entrusted you with a job to do, whether you're paid for it or not. This is not about employment. It's not about compensation. It's about contribution, doing your part. God cares whether or not you do it. He cares how you do it. Do you do it in the way that He wants it done? Everything we've talked about this weekend, it comes down to this. Will we be faithful or not? You know, it's funny. We tend to think that if this is the end times, then what we need to do is to freak out, right? Vote a certain way. Stock up on canned goods and dry foods. Fill your basement with guns. But Jesus said that when the end is drawing near, we should just stay busy about His business and faithfully do our jobs. If the end is near, then we should be getting up and going to work. How do you want your master to find you when he returns? I don't know about you, but I want to be working at what he told me to do. Because, number two, we will be held accountable. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Those are sobering words, aren't they? There will be accountability for our performance with that which He has entrusted to us. Do you have a performance review at your job? I have one that's done every year by our elders. I'm sure you do something similar with Pastor Jeff. This, however, is the ultimate performance review. Are you ready for it? After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. What did you do with what I left in your hands? What did you do with what I left in your hands? How did you invest your life, your gifts, your assignments? Were you faithful or not with your work? Look at verse 20. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. I have gained 5 more. Now, I'm not good at math, but I think that's 100% on your investment. That's awesome. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained you 2 more. Now, I'm not good with math, but I think that's 100% return on his investment. Clint, you can tell me if I'm right on that. Is that right? Okay. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Point number 3, we will be rewarded. We've said this each night, Friday night, Saturday night, this morning. If we are faithful, we will be rewarded. I love those words in verse 21 and again in verse 23, and I long to hear them said to me, well done, good and faithful servant. That would be reward enough. To receive the commendation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see that there's more there than just commendation. There is somehow more responsibility. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. I think that points to the way things will work in the future, in the kingdom, in the new heavens, in the new earth. There will still be work in the consummation, in the new creation. Remember we said that on Friday night, chapter 4 of those 4 chapters. We're living in chapter 3. Chapter 4 is still to come. There's still going to be work in chapter 4. It'll just be work without the curse. Work without toil. Work with no groaning. All groaning will be gone. But contribution will not be. Work will still be there. And if we are faithful now with the few things that the Lord has given us to do, then we will get more and better to do then. Isn't that a great incentive to faithfulness now? God has an incentive program for our work too. Is there an incentive program where you work? You do a little bit, you get a little bit more? If you have been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. Let's get going and have a party. Come and share your master's happiness. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hear the boss say. Now again, notice that the reward is the same for both the five-talent guy and the two-talent guy. We should not assume that because someone has a big job here in this life that they will experience more blessing in the life to come. That's up to God. What we can expect based just on this parable is that if we're faithful with our job as someone else is with theirs, we can both expect the same commendation and more responsibility and a hefty common portion of our master's joy. No matter what your job is, if you're faithful with it, you can expect to share in the happiness of Jesus Christ. The opposite is true as well. Those who are unbelievers, those who do not trust the Lord Jesus and do not show up for work, cannot be expected to be rewarded. Quite the opposite. Look at verse 24. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. It almost seems like he's mad at the master, doesn't it? Why'd you give me this job? I don't love you. I don't trust you. All I am is scared of you, so I disobeyed you. Here's your stuff back. I didn't do what you asked. Verse 26. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? You think I exploit people, do you? Well, then, if you're so scared of me, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, at least, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. He's saying to that man, what have you been doing? The master's been gone a long time, and this guy has nothing to show for it, just an assignment that he didn't lift a finger to do. What a scary phrase to hear from the Lord Jesus, you wicked, lazy servant. You sluggard, you slacker. You've been worthless. He actually calls him worthless or useless. Verse 28. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The condemnation of judgment. Unbelievers will lose the life and talents and assignments and treasures and all kinds of other gifts that they have received in common grace if they will not trust the Lord Jesus and show that they've trusted the Lord Jesus by obeying the Lord Jesus. But those who do believe him and trust him and put their faith in him will show it by being faithful to him. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. That's what I want for everybody in this room. Abundance, now and forever. And abundance comes as the fruit of faithfulness. If we are faithful, we will be rewarded. So are you being faithful to your callings? If you died today, what would you expect your master to say to you? You have been entrusted. You will be held accountable. What would you hear? What do you want to hear? What do you need to change to know that you will hear it? Whatever your job is, whatever your callings are in life, they are callings of the King, and he wants you to be faithful to do them in anticipation of his return. That's how we're to live in these last days. Watchful, but not passive. Actively busy with our business for the King, ready for him to return and inspect the troops at any time. 2 years ago, when I was preaching this series, my son Peter got his first buck during rifle season. It was his first deer and our family's first buck, and I was pretty proud of him. When the buck first appeared on the horizon, I was on my phone. I was shopping for health insurance with my freezing little fingers. I wasn't really hunting. I had a gun in my lap, but I wasn't hunting. But Peter was hunting. He was watching, watching, watching. He was ready. But he wasn't just sitting there. He was active. He had his eyes peeled. He was scanning the horizon. He was busy doing what he was supposed to be doing. And it paid off. We didn't know the day or the hour that that buck would come through. But Peter was ready. And now I can say to him, "Well done, son. Good job." How much more should we be watchful and ready and expectant and busy doing our job so that our true boss says, "Well done, good and faithful servants, come and share in my happiness." May it be true of all of us. Amen.
Thank you, Matt. Our closing hymn is number 452, "Make Me a Blessing." Let's all stand and we'll just sing the first verse, and then Roger will close us in prayer. Thank you.
Out of the highways and byways of life,